39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. Of the organization that sponsors speaking conferences all over the country called TED Talks. Maybe you've listened to a TED Talk online. One of the most popular TED Talk speakers ever is social science researcher Brené Brown. I mention her name because her TED Talks resonate with the narrative of today's gospel lesson. She's done a lot of research on shame, the human condition or emotion that all of us experience to one degree or another. In fact, it's so universal, you could say shame is a consequence of living in a fallen world full of sin. Shame is excruciating because it destroys something we all need desperately: human connection, a sense of acceptance and belonging. Shame prevents us from having honest, real relationships. You know, my first months out of seminary were difficult. We'd been sent to Eastern Washington, where we struggled at first. The kids had a pretty smooth transition from our home in Olympia to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I went to seminary. But this transition from Fort Wayne to Yakima was tough. They'd gone to excellent schools, parochial schools in the Midwest. Well, here it was different, and they hated school. They were struggling socially. They were depressed. And I was worried. We were also struggling financially. I wasn't getting paid much. On top of that, my work situation was very frustrating. For the last 10 years of my professional life, I worked in Olympia, but my boss was in Seattle. Perfect. During my vicarage year, or my internship year of seminary, I was given almost complete autonomy by my supervising pastor. But now, as an associate pastor, I was micromanaged to the point where it drove me nuts. Good-intentioned people at church or even in the community or family members, friends, often asked us how things were going. How did we like it there in Yakima? What I wanted to say was, the schools are lousy, my kids hate it, I don't make enough money, and we're all depressed. I can't believe I did this. I miss home. I wish we'd never left. I'm a bona fide idiot. And all of that was true, especially the last part. But I never said that. Instead, I'd wax eloquent about the beauty of the Yakima Valley and the surrounding brown hills. I hate brown hills. And how fortunate we felt to be there, blah, blah, blah. I didn't tell the truth because I was filled with shame. I was ashamed that I felt the way I felt. Ashamed that I was so resentful and angry. Because I was a pastor now, and I was supposed to rejoice in the Lord always, especially while serving His people. How could I be so negative? I didn't want anyone to know the truth about me. Brené Brown points out that shame is what unravels and destroys our relationships. Shame isolates us, causes us to seal ourselves off from everyone else until no one really knows us. Shame and isolation go hand in hand. You know, it's hard to imagine anyone more isolated, more sealed off from society than the man described in our gospel lesson here in Luke 8. Afflicted by a myriad of demons, I don't think you could find a man more shamed. No one would go near him. And who would blame them? The guy was frightening. It says he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. And who could identify with this guy? Who could talk to him? Even the lepers of first century Israel lived in groups. They lived lives of shame and isolation, but at least they had each other. But this man, inhabited by demons, had no one at all. He lived alone by the shore of the Sea of Galilee among caves used as tombs. You know, the most interesting part of this story is that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee from the western Jewish side of the lake to the eastern non-Jewish side of the lake, apparently for one reason only: to rescue this pagan from the horrible condition he found himself in. It appears that Jesus came for the sole purpose of saving this guy. He directed the demons into a herd of pigs, unclean animals according to Jewish dietary laws, and then destroyed the pigs by having them plunge into the lake. And then, after encouraging the man to declare what God had done for him, Jesus got back in his boat and sailed home. Brené Brown points out that while it's shame that destroys the connections between people, it's empathy that anchors us in deep, meaningful relationship. Shame destroys connection. Empathy creates and nurtures connection. That's exactly what Jesus exhibited toward this guy. Empathy, connection, love. When the man was completely shamed and isolated, when he was an object of fear and scorn, Jesus found him and rescued him from his shame and isolation. You know, I mentioned my shame over my lousy attitude when we first arrived in Yakima in the summer of 2005, in that fall. I admit, that was a pretty weak example of shame. Truth be told, there are far more despicable examples of shameful behavior from my own life that I could use but I'm too ashamed to mention them. That's the truth. For the most part, my shame, my own shame, comes from what I've done. For others, it might be completely different. Some feel shame because of an evil perpetrated against them. But whatever the source, shame has an isolating effect. We feel not only unloved, but unlovable. Not only unclean, but uncleanable. If you feel that way, there's good news. Jesus has an extensive history of intervening in the lives of those who are deeply shamed and rescuing them. Take the woman caught in adultery, not condemned, but forgiven. Or the prostitute at Simon the Pharisee's house. We talked about her last week. The one who was forgiven much and who loved much. Or Zacchaeus, the dishonest tax collector, forgiven and befriended by Jesus. More than anyone, Jesus understands your shame and your isolation. He empathizes with you as you give voice to your grief and your guilt. He listens as you confess what you've done or what others have done to you. And as we confess or plead or just vent, something miraculous happens. Your shame, your guilt, your grief moves to Him. God comes down to you to take upon Himself your burdens, to live where you live, to feel what you feel, to cry as you cry. You may still hurt, but never alone. You know, I suspect that we will all continue to struggle with shame in this life for the rest of our lives. But we need not be discouraged, because we'll also always have someone and something stronger than our shame. Jesus and His promise to us who are sinful that we are forgiven and made clean. That's the gospel, the good news, of which we'll never be ashamed, because it's the power of God for our salvation and the power of God for the removal of our shame for all who believe. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love and empathy toward us. We thank You that You came down to us to live among us, to feel our fears and our pain and our shame. And it's not shocking to You. And we thank You that not only do You feel it, but You can do something about it, and You do. Lord, I pray for those who feel shame this morning, and I ask for Your healing. And I thank You that we can be confident that You hear us. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.